Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Gimel. According to the Art Scroll Siddur, Mishnah Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet are separate, and that's how we're going to read it, even though many of the Mefarshim actually place both of the Mishnayos together as one. Omer Lehem. So he, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, said to his students, Se'u, go out. I'm giving you a homework assignment and to go on a little field trip and find out Ezuhi derech tova sheyidbach ba ha'adam. What is the proper way to which a man should cling? And we're going to discuss exactly that question, what exactly he meant by that. And each of the five students come up with a different answer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayin Tov, a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chaver Tov, good friend. Rabbi Yose Omer, Shachin Tov, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haros Anolad, that's a little different. One who considers the outcome of a deed, one who can see the future. We should discuss in greater detail in a moment. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Lev Tov. His prize student came up with this brilliant answer, a good heart. Amar Lahem, so they brought back this assignment, and each of them gave their own answer. Answers Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Ro'ani es divrei Elazar ben Arach, midivreichem, shebechlal divarav divreichem. I think that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach's words are the best, for your words are included in his words. So, some people point out the language of tsu'u, go out and see. So when it comes to a study, an empirical study, it's necessary, as we mentioned before, that the researcher does not put in their own biases, their own feelings, their own experiences. Once a person does that, it no longer has the validity of an empirical study. Rather, it becomes what's called a reflective piece. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, Tsu'u, go out and see. Go out of yourself, of your way of thinking, your interpretation of what's considered to be the proper way, the Derech Yashar, and find out what's good for Adam. Sheyidbach Adam, the typical person, a regular man. For you, what do you do all day? You sit in yeshiva, you're learning. So for you, you may not have the same challenges as a person who works, a person who has the difficulties of making a living, and all the different tests that may come along with it. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, go out. Don't think that you know the answers. Look around and investigate. Then and only then maybe you'll come up with the truth. According to the Netziv explains that, unlike the way it's written in the Art Scroll, but the other Mefarshim read not what is the Derech Tova, but rather, Derech Yeshara. What exactly does it mean, Yashar? It's interesting, the word Yashar is really what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be Yesharim. We're supposed to be individuals who are proper. And we see this clearly based on our name. We are B'nai Yisrael. We are the children of those who should be Yashar to God, to Kale. What exactly does it mean to be Yasha? So the Netziv explains that the very first Sefer in the Torah, Sefer Bereishis, is called Sefer HaYashar. And in fact, our Avos, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were not called Tzadikim, they were not called Chasidim, but rather they were called Yesharim. What exactly is the difference between a Tzadik and someone who is Yashar? So the Netziv explains that if we look at the life of Noach and the life of Abraham, we see a tremendous difference. Noach, as the Torah says, was an ish tzaddik. He was certainly a righteous individual. But unfortunately, as we know, when it came down to it, he was unsuccessful in influencing a single human being outside of his immediate family. Everyone died in the Mabul, in the flood, outside of him and seven other family members. That is a tzaddik. You do everything proper, but you may not necessarily have the ability to influence the outside world. Our avos are called yesharim, because the way that they traveled in life, their experiences in life, were not just to remain in a closed box inside of a teva, but rather, Avraham stepped out of his box, as we find that Avraham, after Bris Milah, sat outside of his tent, because he was interested in influencing the outside world. So too we see by Yaakov. Yaakov testifies about himself that im lavan harashigarti v'tariyag mitzvah shemarti. It's easy to adhere to the 613 commandments when every single person does them. But to put yourself in an environment which may very easily influence you for the worse, to come out of there unscathed, that makes you a great person. That was the unique quality of our avos. Those individuals were called Yesharim, so too the name of the Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Yesharim. With that said, we understand now what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was telling his students. He was saying, listen, you're in yeshiva, you're learning, you're great tzaddikim, but the reality is one day I will no longer be here. One day I will die. And when that happens, you will not necessarily have the same positive influences as you do right now. Therefore, tsu'u, go out of yourselves. Go out of the Beit Midrash and go into the real world and to discover exactly what is the Derech Yashar, the way that you can make an impact, just like as I have in my lifetime, that you can do the exact same thing, to be able to impress upon other people the words of Hashem. It's a beautiful explanation by the Bnei Yisachar exactly how they were able to come up with these unique interpretations, these unique answers. And certainly one answer, as we're going to see, will have a direct reflection on their own life experiences, as much as it was perhaps given that to them the instructions of Tzu, of not to allow their own personal experiences to influence their answers. Another interpretation is as follows. According to the simple reading of the Mishnah, which is found in the Art School Siddur, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai asked his students to find Derech Tova, a good path. Tov. There's a general principle that when a person wants to know the real meaning of a word, you have to find the very first time it's ever said in the Torah. And whatever it means there is what it really means throughout all other sources. So if a person opens up the beginning to Parshas Bereishis, to find the very first place where the word Tov is will maybe give you an interpretation of what will be the Derech Tov. And on this, we don't have to go very far, but on the very first page in Chumash, Torah tells us, Pasuk Dalet, Vayar Elohim es Haor Ki Tov, that God saw the light was good. And at that point there was already light and there was darkness together. And then afterwards the pasuk says Vayavd Elohim bein Haor bein Achoshech, that Hashem separated between the light and the darkness. So some explain that this is the interpretation of each of these five great students. First of all, we had the answer of Rebbe Eliezer. He said the answer is an ayin tova, a good eye. What does it mean to have an ayin tova, a good eye? So what he did was he simply looked at Pasuk Dalet, Vayar Elokim, Ki Tov, that Hashem looked, he saw that it was good. And therefore, because of this, it was clearly understood that it must be that the first way that we can interpret what is tov, what is good, is vayar, is by looking, the way that we use our eyes to have an ayin tova. The second answer is brought down by Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, Chaver Tov. Literally, a good friend. Chaver means also something which is mechubar, like mechubar lekarka, something which is in the ground, attached to the ground. A chaver is connected to you. That's the same root, the same shorish. And therefore, according to this interpretation, at this point, when the word Tov came, before the words V'yavdel Elokim ben Or ben Choshech, Or and Choshech, light and darkness, were together. And therefore, they were as one. So we see this idea of Or and Choshech, that even though they may be completely opposites, nonetheless, they have the ability to work together to be as friends, to be as one. Rabbi Yossi gave a different interpretation. He said, Shachin Tov, a good neighbor. And the reason why I said a good neighbor, according to the opinion of Bnei Yisachar, is because he's interpreting the word Tov after the light and the darkness have been separated. And just like a good neighbor is right near you, the second your property ends, starts their property, so too, as soon as day ends, the night begins. And just as when the night ends, the day begins, that is a shachin. That is considered to be a neighbor where the word Tov is found. Then we had the novel interpretation of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon said that Tov is a Rois Anoila, one who can see the future. And it's brought down in Chazal that when Hashem created this brilliant light, He really did not provide this light for us now, but rather He saved the most brilliant of light for the tzaddikim l'asad lavo in the future. And therefore, explains Rav Shimon that the light that Hashem created that was Tov is not something which we really experience now, but it's something when a person who is able to have long-term thinking and not just gravitate toward their immediate gratification, the here and now, that person is a Royas Anoilad. But the most difficult one is probably the last answer, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, that says Tov is connected to the lave, to the heart. But where do we find, asked the Bnei Yisachar, anywhere in these first few sentences, any connection to a physical heart, a lave? And he brilliantly answers as follows. If we start from the very first word of the Torah, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, and count all the way to the word Tov, we find something fascinating. Let's do that right now. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz v'haaretz hayta tohu. That's 10. V'vohu v'choshech al pnei tohom. Baruch Elokim mirachefet al pnei. That's 20. Hamayim. V'yomer Elokim yehi or v'yehi or. Vayar Elohim S, that's 30. Haor is 31. And the next word, Ki, is the 32nd word in the Torah. What comes after the word Ki, which is the 32nd word of the Torah? Tov, Ki Tov. Beautifully explains the Bnei Yisachar, what Hebrew word, what human organ has a numerical value of 32, lave, a heart. And therefore he explains that he looked at the Torah and he counted the first 32 words, which is lave, and then immediately after lave is tov. So therefore, according to his opinion, by looking at the first time the word says, word tov exists, immediately before that is only 32 words, lave, tov. So says and explains the Bnei Yisachar. We look at this time at the words of the Tosfos Yom Tov. Tosfos Yom Tov tells us, similar to that which we've seen before, Se'uru, go out and see. Can I read in Ba'alma, because it says in Masechet Brachot and other sources in Shas, that this is what we're told to do. Nafak, Dak Veshkach, that they went out and searched and then found. Which means that what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is also telling his students to do is to go out, not just to think based on their own perspective, but rather to come up with other ideas and new interpretations. So now let's go quickly through these five answers one by one. We started off with the answer of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayin Tova. What exactly does it mean, an Ayin Tova? A good eye. So it's brought down in the Bar Tanur as follows. An Ayin Tova, someone with a good eye, is mistapek b'mash sheyesh lo. They're satisfied with what they have. They're mevakesh devarim miserim. They don't need extra things, all these luxuries in this world. And they're not easily jealous just because their friend may have something more than they do. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says it in a very clear and much shorter manner of what is an Ayin Tova? Someone who is happy with what they have. And based on what we've discussed in the previous Mishnayos, it serves well that Rabbi Eliezer is the one that comes up with this concept of being Sameach B'chelko. Because as we mentioned, Rabbi Eliezer, who was not knowledgeable at a young age of Torah, decided to dedicate his life to the study under the teacher of Yochanan ben Zakkai. After his brothers heard about this, they tried to influence their father, Hyrcanus, to disown him. Fortunately enough, he was not disowned, because Hyrcanus wanted to see for himself exactly what was going on. He went into the study hall, and sure enough, he saw his son expounding on the deepest laws and concepts of Torah. He was so impressed by his son that he said, not only am I not disowning you, I want to give you the chelek of all of your brothers. I want you to receive everything. Eliezer looked at his father and in different words, but he said, thank you, Dad, I appreciate that, but I do not want more than the chelek that I'm entitled to. My brothers should be able to continue to get and to receive that which is rightfully theirs. That is a Sameach B'chelko. Even entitled to and being able to receive a certain amount, nonetheless, he was easy to turn it around and say, I'm not interested in it. The idea of a Sameach B'chelko also falls under the category, as the Ramban explains, the mitzvah of Yahavta Re'echa Kamocha. Because as we mentioned before, Yahavta Re'echa Kamocha in Parshas Kedoshim is a very difficult mitzvah. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. Ask the Ramban two questions. First of all, how is it possible that a person could literally love another human being more than themselves? It's a very strange thing that almost seems like an impossible thing to ever accomplish. How could the Torah require that of us? But furthermore, the Ramban asks the question. So what happens in a situation that you're in the desert? And there you are with your good old friend. Unfortunately, you only have one canteen, and even more fortunate for you, you're the one holding it. The question is, are you supposed to give that canteen to your friend, or are you supposed to drink it yourself? For you to split it makes no sense. Theoretically speaking, there's only enough water for one person. If you would split it, both of you 100% will die. That's the case. Halacha is that you, the one who is holding the water, you're the one that should drink it. Aye, but your friend's going to die. Your life comes before his. So on this, the Ramban clearly sees that V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha should require that you should give them half, or you should give the whole thing. Because obviously, you would love to drink this water. So if you're supposed to love your neighbor exactly like you love yourself, so why are you drinking the water? So we see from here clearly that that is not really the mitzvah of Yahavta Re'echa Kamocha. Explains the Ramban, and there's many ways that the Ramban is interpreted, but the way I understand the Ramban is that the mitzvah of Yahavta Re'echa Kamocha is similar to the idea of being Sameach L'chelko. That you have to be happy, and you have to feel good about what you have in life, and look upon other people with an Ayin Tova. The fact that someone has something which you do not have, or someone is rejoicing, someone is experiencing a simcha, something which you have not experienced, you should feel the same genuine happiness for that person as though you would be the one experiencing that simcha. That's a very difficult thing to obtain as well. So my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yochanan Zweig, often says that that's the reason for the minhag, if you will, when a person has a boy, they hand out cigars. Why are they handing out cigars? The idea is that it's a boy. Okay, you're happy, but why am I happy? Well, here's a cigar. Now you can feel connected to my simcha because you're receiving some benefit as well. That's also the reason why Chazal tell us, in simcha, elo b'makom suda. Why? Why is it that a person can only have simcha b'makom suda? It's because you're rejoicing. You could be starving to death and it won't make a difference because you're so happy. It's yom chasnuso, yom simchas libo. But for me, why am I happy? Ah, a nice a steak, a nice piece of chicken. All right, now I'm happy. That's the reality. The reality is that it's difficult without external stimuli for a person to be genuinely happy for another person's simcha. But this is the idea of being mesamech l'chelko and to have an ayin tova, to look upon and gaze upon a person in a very happy manner. In fact, I was actually speaking to, when I was in yeshiva many years back, a boy who was already well in his mid to late 20s. And I was getting ready to go to a wedding. And I said, aren't you going to the schas? And everyone's going. He says, I don't go to weddings anymore. So why don't you go to weddings? They're fun. So they're fun for you. Because you're 18 years old. You're a kid. But for me, when I see people who are older than me, and they get married and have kids, and there I am, not having success with shiduchim, it hurts me. Now, although certainly that's a chisaron of being mesamech l'chelko, I was also extremely impressed that that person was willing to acknowledge their chesronos, their shortcomings. But that's something which we all need to work on, to be able to have an ayin tova, to have a good eye, to look more favorably at other people. With this, the Rabbeinu Yonah continues and explains the idea of derech yishara, finding this one great thing that you should do. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, B'chol hamidos hatovos v'yisharos yeshu adam lehidabik behen. When he said that you should find one good thing, the reality is a person should have many midos tovos and a lot of good actions. Shouldn't just focus on one good thing and everything else can be you can be a rasha about. El zeh rotzalom. This is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is really asking his students to do. Lehidabik b'mida achas liyoshalim ba. Focus on one midah and perfect it. And then the Rabbi Yonah says something amazing. Ki tov adam le'echos ba'achas b'shlemus v'nakei elav l'hasik b'menu el kol hamidos ha'chashubos miyosolo kal hamidos ve'einenu sholem ba'achas mehen. What's better, to be a jack of all trades and a master at none, or to have a skill, one specific area that you're perfect in? Explains to Rabbeinu Yonah that what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is telling his students is find one thing that you are excellent in and perfect it. And then, once you do that, everything else will come along with it. And explains the Chavetz Chaim, if you want to compare this concept of the Rabbeinu Yonah, we can compare it to a locomotive, to a train. When it comes to a train, you have many, many cars that have absolutely no form of movement. They're cold, they're huge, and they're just sitting on the tracks, not moving. You can't do anything to excite them to move forward. But yet, all you need is one little train in the front with an engine and shoveling so much coal that that engine becomes red hot, becomes extremely powerful and fiery. Not only can it move itself, but it can move all the other cold ones behind it and pull along a huge train. Explains the Chavetz Chaim, this is how we're supposed to be when it comes to mitzvos and midos. To find one area that we are passionate about, that we love, that excites us, and then once we do that b'shleimus, then we can find that all the other things that we're not so excited about, the other mitzvahs which don't drive us so much, we'll end up seeing that that one mitzvah that we perfected will move all the very cold ones along with it. This also is the explanation of one of the most famous mishnayos in Shas that is recited at the end of learning. The Rav Chananim and Akasha said, "Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu lezachot Yisrael," that Hashem wanted to cause merit for the Jewish people. "Lefikach hirbo lehem tar mitzvot," therefore He gave them many, many mitzvot. Why did God give us 613 mitzvot? Give me 3 mitzvos. Give me 8. Why so many? And the answer is, explains the Mefarshim in the Gemara Makos, that every person is different. Every person is unique and has different skills and abilities. So therefore, one mitzvah may call to you which is unique. One person may be very passionate about Pesach. Another person may be very passionate about having the most beautiful lulav and esrog. And that's what they love to do. And once they're able to focus and perfect that one area, then they're able to carry that enthusiasm and excitement to Kol Torah Kula, to the other 612 mitzvot. So is the explanation of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah, the interpretation of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, a chaver tov, a good friend. What is a good friend? Well, a good friend, maybe, without seeing the Bartanur yet, is someone that you see your friend doing something wrong, and you're not going to be critical of him. After all, you love him, you care about him, you're not going to bug him, you let him do whatever he wants. That's not a friend. That's not someone you want to associate as a friend. Explains the Bartanura Chaver Tov Shemo Yechicho. That person will rebuke you. Kishiroa Oso Osa Davar Shenu Hagun. They see you doing something which is not proper. They see that you're going down the wrong path. That is a friend. A friend is someone that will speak up when there's something that's not going right. When something terrible is happening to you, they're not going to sit idly and let you self-destruct. Which is a very important message. The message of what a real friend is. A real friend, if, for example, you see a person starting to do drugs, maybe alcohol, and that's what's called a gateway drug, and it's no big deal, who cares, it's fun, it's cool. The reality is, it's not. And also, the fact that you say nothing shows that you really don't care about that person. If you genuinely care about that person, you will do everything in that person's in your power to make sure that he'll be taken care of and that he's going down the Derech Yishara. He's going down the proper path. That is a true definition of a friend who is willing to even sacrifice his own relationship with you because he cares about you so much and he cannot stand to see you doing something which is self-destructive. Probably no coincidence that the person who said this was Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, in which the Mishnah above praised him, the way that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai interestingly praised Rabbi Yeshua was not through him, but through his mom. That the Mishnah says that when he praised Rabbi Yeshua, Ashrei Yuladto, praiseworthy is she who bore him. And we mentioned that Rabbi Yeshua's mother, when Rabbi Yeshua was in utero, even before he was born, she used to go into the study halls and ask the Talmidei Chachamim to give her brachos so that her child should become a scholar just like they are. Not only that, when the child was an infant, she would wheel the baby carriage into the Beit Midrash. And it says, in order that the only things that should go into his ears are Divrei Torah. That nothing else, no negative influences should affect him. And therefore, a Chaver Tov, I believe that Rabbi Elazar's greatest friend was his mom. Because his mother truly cared about him and his welfare to make sure that he would grow up to become the Talmud Chacham that he became. And therefore, the Chaver Tov is not just a friend, but it could be a direct relative. And it could even be your spouse. That when a person sees that your spouse is doing something which is not good, for you to do nothing, and I'm concerned, I'm afraid he may not love me anymore, she may get angry at me. The reality is that a spouse also needs to be a chaver tov. Which is the reason why in Sheva Brachos, we give the bracha of Ava Achva Shalom Bereus. Reus, friendship, is at the end. Because certainly we love one another, but you also have to be a friend. You have to realize that sometimes you have to speak up when you see that your husband or wife is doing something which is dangerous, something which is self-destructive. You have an obligation to speak up because you know them best. And in fact, with the story which we mentioned before with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, that when Rabbi Gamliel was removed as being the Nasi, and an 18-year-old kid by the name of Elazar ben Azariah accepted the position, he said, before I can accept this position, I need to ask my wife. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was married at 18, or maybe before, He asked his wife. Why did he have to ask his wife? Because his wife knew him best. And in fact, his wife asked him a question. She said, listen, they just got rid of Rabbi Gamliel, and what happens if they get rid of you as well? So on this, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah answered over there that it's just like a beautiful glass, a beautiful cup. At least if you can use it for one day and it breaks, at least you enjoyed it for that one day. So why did she ask him this question? Because probably she knew that her husband, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, was very sensitive, and that by him losing a position of greatness could be devastating to his self-esteem. And therefore, because of this, his wife knew this, and therefore she wanted to speak up because she was a Chaver Tov. Certainly this position of power would have been a great move for him and also his wife. They become the leaders of Klal Yisrael. But that wasn't what the wife was thinking about. The wife realized that it might not have been in the health, the best interest in the health of her husband, and therefore she had to speak up. That's a Chaver Tov. A Chaver Tov, again, is not just a friend. It could even be your mother. It could even be your spouse. The third interpretation of the Mishnah is that of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Omer, Shachin Tov, a good neighbor. What does it mean to be a good neighbor, to have a good neighbor, to be a good neighbor? Says the Bar Tanura, Motzei Etzlo Bin Bayom Bin Belayla. Yulchaver Tov Enu Motzei Etzlo B'choleis. When it comes to a good friend, your friend will go to a Yankee game with you, and then he goes home. Your friend will spend a couple hours with you, go fishing with you, then go home. But when you go home, that neighbor is there. And hopefully not a peeping Tom, but they're watching. They see what you do. They know what you do. They hear screaming. They know if you have a house of shalom bayis, of peace and tranquility. They know what's going on. So a shachin tov, a good neighbor, could also be your friend. But the difference is that that neighbor is in a closer proximity to you. And therefore they can keep a better eye to make sure that what you do and everything that you do is above board. Rashi interprets the idea of a shachin tov as follows. Similar. He says, Yoser tov mechaver tov, shesheno ro'ehu kol shah biyom v'layla v'lomin memasav. So since you're able to learn from their actions and they from yours, it's so important to have a good neighbor. V'lomin memasav. In fact, it's brought down that when it came to the rebellion of Korach, that part of the rebellion came from the tribe of Reuven. And it's explained on this, Oyla Rasha Oyla Shcheno. Because the tribe of Reuven lived in close proximity to the Bnei Korach, they received a negative influence from them. Oyla Rasha Oyla Shcheno. Similarly, when it comes to the laws of Saras, leprosy is not just something which falls upon a person's skin. That's the reason why it's not really translated correctly as leprosy. Because Saras could occur on a person's garments as well as a person's home. And at a certain level, a person's wall will need to be broken down. Now what happens if you have a shared wall? Let's say you're in a co-op, right? Or you're in an apartment, and you have to knock down your wall. Unfortunately, your neighbor's wall is also your wall. Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shcheino. Woe is to the wicked, and woe is to his neighbor. And therefore explains this Mishnah that Rav Yossi advises the Shachin Tov, that make sure that your neighbor is a good neighbor. But it's not just enough to have a good neighbor, to ask around, to make sure that you're in a positive environment, because so easily we can be influenced. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah that it means she'e ba'atzmo tov im kol shecheinav. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to hope that your neighbors are good. It means you also, you have to be a good neighbor. That's what it means. Because otherwise, an ayin tov means you have to have a good eye. Olev tov, you have to have a good heart. Shachin tov, so you're lucky. What is that? How does that affect me? The answer is I have to be the good neighbor. And hopefully if I'm a good neighbor, and I'm a good role model, and I'm a good citizen, and I'm a good person, then other people will also learn from me and be good as well. Rav Shimon Omer, Haroas Anoilad. Rav Shimon says an interesting answer, someone who can literally see the future. Of course, it's not referring to a soothsayer. It's not referring to a Navi that you have to become some type of some prophet or something along those lines. No. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, what is a Royas and Noilad? Shinosan Einav al Kol Derachav. That you cast your eyes upon everything that you do. V'roah ha'devarim ha'noladim kodim shenoldu. You're able to see what would happen, what would transpire, even before it's done. U'kishro ha'davar sheish b'tchilaso sechar. V'sofo maybe lidei hefsid misrachik mimenu. Unfortunately, so many of us do not do what the Rabbeinu Yonah tells us. That there's so many of us that we focus on the tchilaso sechar, the immediate gratification, the benefit, the reward for that which we do. But we don't think of the sof, the long-term negative effects. V'sofo maybe lidei hefsid, that the end will end up causing a loss. If we focus on the end result, Misrachik mimenu, then we'll end up distancing ourselves from so many things. Ubazeh lo yechatel lo olam. Once a person does this, you will never come to sin. And it's no coincidence that when this opinion, Rav Shimon, who says harayis hanoilad, is when a person does that, will not come to sin, because when we look at what was the praise of Rav Shimon ben Nisanil, he was a yorichet. He was afraid of sinning. And therefore, the way that he was afraid of sinning was he was constantly rois hanoilad, always thinking of the future and the consequences of his actions. Ki chashiv sechar aver keneged hafseda. You always have to weigh your benefits opposite the losses. Al kein yeshu adam hidavik b'derech ahi. Cling and attach yourself to this philosophy, this way of thinking. Lachshol b'tchila ma'yeh b'sof. To think up front what will end up happening. V'lasas kol inyanav aladei machshava zos. Make all your thoughts in this manner. And I believe that the way that a person can attain this level of arayis hanoilad is through playing chess. The interesting idea of chess, and someone who's a master chess player knows not only what move they're about to make, but they have to think, if I move this piece, if I move this bishop, then I'm going to potentially make my queen vulnerable to attack, and they'll probably move here, which will force me to move there, then they'll move there, then there, then there, then there. The greatest of chess players can see 5, 10, 15, 20 moves ahead and understand. That's a Royas hanoilad. Every single move that you make in life will have consequences. And therefore, you have to think before you act. You have to think before you speak. The Minchas Shabbos explains that the key word over here is a roeh, one who sees, envisions. It explains that you can have two children that know that they're going to get into trouble if they do a certain act. If they do something wrong, they're going to get into a lot of trouble. One of them just knows, that I'm going to get in trouble. The other one realizes and in their mind puts themselves in the situation of them sitting in front of the principal's office, then afterwards being grounded at home on a beautiful Sunday day, Sunday morning. The second child, who is a roya, who can actually envision and look in their minds and paint a picture of exactly what would happen, that's a person who will be more likely to distance themselves from doing things which are counterproductive for themselves. And furthermore, Rav Shimon Alter explains that this is the idea of avera gereris avera, that there's the domino effect, there's chain reactions, that a person does one small thing wrong, what's the big deal? It's not a big deal, and maybe it really isn't a big deal. But very often, that when we do one thing wrong, and once we continue to do it, it's already naslo keheter. It's like there's nothing wrong with it at all. We rationalize. We feel that it's perfectly fine. We may even end up thinking it's a mitzvah to do it. So therefore ends up, we realize that the aver we're doing, it's not so much. I'm going to do a little more, a little more, a little more. And then there's no stopping you. You're completely out of control. As we mentioned a few minutes before, that's also the issue of a gateway drug. That a person begins to just abuse alcohol, and big deal, big deal. But once you get used to it, then and it doesn't really have the same effects, and it becomes part of you, you want to look for another aver, something else, something stronger, something more exciting. And then once you turn around years later, you realize that the sof, that the end, was completely destructive, and you wish, if only I could do it all over again, but unfortunately you can't. That's a royus anoila. Think of the future. Think before you speak. Think before you act. But the last answer is the one that the teacher was the most impressed with. The answer of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar said, Lev Tov, having a good heart. A Lev Tov, to him, was the greatest answer. Now what exactly is this idea of a Lev Tov, a good heart? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows, quoting the words of the Rambam, Rav Moshe ben Maimon, Zichron Levracha, he explains, Shizosi Malos Tikkun Hamidos. This is one of the greatest forms of perfecting one's character traits. Lefisha Deyosav Shel Adam Neviyasan Min Alev. Because persons' thoughts and actions come from their desires within their heart. Ubizman Shalibo Tov. Once you have a good heart, kol midosav yisharos v'diosav nechonos. All of your ways and your thoughts are going to be proper. V'nimsa samech v'chelko. You'll end up doing all these other things. You'll be happy with what you have. V'schavrim atovim. You'll have good friends. V'enu chafetz elo b'davar sheish bo to'elas l'hefsid. You're only going to gravitate to things which are strong, which are positive, which have long-lasting, long-term effects. V'emes, and the truth is, therefore, his words of a Lev Tov really embodies and encompasses all the other four students. Al Kain Nir Lafarish Ki Lev Tov wrote Salomon. What does it mean, a Lev Tov? It means Midas Haratzon Zeh Savlon Shenu Katzeruach, a person who is patient, doesn't easily get upset and angered. Umisrachik Midas Hakas. The way he answers and speaks is in a very soft and a kind way. That clearly shows that that individual has a Lev Tov, a good heart. It's also brought down in Rashi, a Lev Tov. And it's interesting, over here it's in brackets, but I think it's an unbelievable Rashi. All three words. That when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, I liked your answer the best, Shebechlal Devarim Divreichem, because your words have in it all their words as well, says Rashi, Shakol Toli Belev. Everything is connected and dependent on the heart. The Likutei Sheish brings down this idea with regard to Sukkos. On Sukkos, in addition to sitting in a Sukkah, we also have the mitzvah of the Arba Minim, that we shake the Lulav, the Esrog, the Hadas, and the Arav. If we look at each of these species, we find that each one represents a certain part of the human body. First of all, the Lulav, the date palm tree, which represents that palm, that branch, the backbone, the spine. And then you have the hadasim, or the myrtle, which are the shape of one's eyes. And then you have the arava, or the willow, which is the shape of the mouth. But when it comes to the esrog is the only one that the Torah defines as pre-etz hadar. It has to be something which is beautiful, that is perfected, that is unique and special, and very good. And what does the esrog represent on the human body? The heart. Only by the heart, explains Likutei Sheish, do we require pre-etz hadar, that it has to be most beautiful. Because, shakol toli belev, once you have a good heart, everything else along comes along with it. Very often we hear people that make fun of Jewish individuals who say, I don't really keep the Torah, I don't keep the mitzvahs, but I'm a Jew in the heart. I'm a Jew in the heart. So yeah, what is that? What type of a Jew is that? They end up jokingly say that's a cardiac Jew. Because all they are is a Jew in the heart. But the reality is, Rashi is clearly telling us that that is the whole purpose of Torah and mitzvahs. That we should have a Lev Tov. That's what the Mishnah says. That's what Rav Yochanan and Zakkai is agreeing to. That you need to have a Lev Tov. If you have a good heart, that is the most important thing. But the individuals that don't adhere to Torah and mitzvahs, the problem is that their interpretation of what is a Lev Tov may not necessarily be the case. It needs to be governed through the laws of the Torah. Because what we're passionate about may not necessarily be things which are very good. The fact is that you give money to someone that you know is going to abuse it and become an alcoholic or buy drugs with it, so are you really giving charity? If a person is passionate and kind to a person who is in the hospital, who has maybe 10 more years to live, and you decide to pull the plug or to perform euthanism upon that person, is that really chesed? Well, I have a good heart. I feel bad for him. But sometimes your heart is not in the right place. In order to be able to have a Lev Tov, you must follow the Torah, all the way from the very last word in the Torah, all the way up to the very first word in the Torah. It's no coincidence, by the way, that if you look at the last word of the Torah, the last words, L'Enei Kol Yisrael, the last letter of Yisrael, the last letter of the Torah, is a Lamed. And what is the first word of the Torah? Bereishis, the first letter is a Beis. Lamed Beis, Lev. In order to be able to have that Lev, that good heart that we all want, that Rashi is telling us, that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is telling us, is the most important thing. You need to be able to follow the Torah in order to know that, in fact, what you're doing is in accordance to what is a Torah value and what really is someone who has a good heart, a Lev Tov. This time we're going to see, for the next last few moments, the next Mishnah, which, as I said before, really is the same Mishnah according to most opinions, but the Art Scroll has it as a separate Mishnah, Mishnah Yudalev. Omer Lehem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gives a second homework assignment. Soru, go out and see Ezu Hiderech Ra, Shisrach Menu Adam. What is a evil path which a person should distance themselves from? And we're going to see, interestingly enough, apparently, four of the five give the exact opposite answer, which one of the questions is then going to be, why then was it necessary for him to ask this question? Isn't it obvious? Shouldn't it dictate our own logic that whatever is good, the opposite is bad? So that's the question we're going to get to in a moment. Let's continue in the mission. Rabbi Elazar Omer Ayin Ra, an evil eye. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chaver Ra, bad friend, a wicked friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shachin Ra, wicked neighbor, bad neighbor. Rav Shimon Omer, all of a sudden he comes up with a completely different answer. Halove Ve'en Mishalim. One who borrows and does not repay. Interesting. Echad Halove Min Adam Kilove Min Amakom. Then he says, one who borrows from man is like one who borrows from Hashem, from the omnipresent. We'll see what that means. Shenemar, as it says, Halove Rashav Yishalim V'tzadik Chonin V'nosein. A wicked person borrows and does not repay, but Hashem, the righteous one, is gracious and is a no-sin and gives. Finally, Rabbi Elazar Omer Lev Ra, a bad heart. Armelahem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, upon hearing these five answers, again, sides with his last student, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, and says, Roani es divrei Elazar ben Arach midivreichem. I like his answer the best. Shebichlal devar divreichem, for your words are included in his words. Now, probably this is not the best advice I would ever give, but nonetheless, the question is, why wouldn't they have cheated? In other words, the day before, they heard an answer. They heard an answer to the question of what is a derech yeshara, what is the derech tov, what is the proper way of going. And they heard the correct answer, or the most correct answer, was a lev tov. So wouldn't it make sense the next day, when they were given the exact opposite assignment, shouldn't they all have come back with the exact same answer of saying, you know what? We came up with a good answer. We all think it's a lev ra, bad heart. Because they probably would know that that would probably be the most accepted answer. Why didn't they just come up with this answer of lev ra? Maybe they could have cheated a little bit. As I always say, if you're going to do something wrong, make sure you do it right. But the Machzor Vitri says that really the reason why they didn't come up with this nice little cheating idea explains the Machzor Vitri, Shepam achas shalom ezed derech tova vira ve'yeshivu al shnehem zetov shiidbak v'zeh ra shisrachek. It's because these two questions, as we really should have them as one Mishnah, Both questions were asked at the same time, and they went out to find out both of the answers at the same time. So therefore, they didn't hear that the answer was Derech Tov, and that Lev Tov was the correct answer, and then go out a week later or a day later. They came up and handed in their homework assignments, these two questions, together at the same time. And therefore, according to Masovitch, that's why they all came up, even the second time, with different answers. Another interpretation is, as we've always said, in Perkei Avos, it's not just some person making up some ideas, but it's generally something which really is the focus and what was the drive of that individual in their life. We often study the words of the Mishnah of Perkei Avos. You should also study the person behind it. And we learn by the stories and the various vignettes of that individual's life, we realize its connection and interplay to that Mishnah. And therefore, some explain that the reason why they came up with different answers is because each of them had their own feelings, their own ways of what they felt was really the correct answer. And therefore, even if they did hear that Lev Tov was the correct answer, for them that was not the correct answer. It didn't affect them as and considered in their mind as the correct, most correct answer. And therefore, it would have been wrong for them to say the answer was Lev Ra, a bad heart, because after all, they didn't necessarily agree that that was, to them, the most accurate explanation, the most accurate answer. Now, it's interesting that out of the five students, only four of them came up with the exact opposite answer. Or maybe all five did. What's interesting, the answer presented of Halovavan Mishalim, someone who borrows money doesn't pay, explains to Bartanura, the reality is that that is also the opposite of what was stated with regard to what is a Derech Ishara. And on the Derech Ishara, Rav Shimon said it was Haros HaNol, the one who sees the future. Why is someone who doesn't pay up their loans someone who is not a Haros HaNol, someone who cannot see the future? Explains the Bartanur beautifully. Who have a Haroa as a Haros HaNol. Someone who doesn't pay up their money that they borrowed, someone who does not have the ability to have with much foresight, someone who has the ability to think into the future. She'im lo yishalim, because let's say you borrowed $5 and you're a very poor person. Now you could have paid back the $5, and maybe because they saw that you're a good person by paying up your loans, they'll end up giving you $1,000 later to be able to live for a while. But she'im lo yishalim, if you don't pay it up, no one is ever going to lend you money anymore. Your credit is going to be completely shot. Your credit scores are going to go down. All your credit cards will be canceled. And you'll end up you'll starve. Because you did not focus on the potential downfall of not paying your credit, the people that you owe money to, because of this, it turns out that you were unable to receive benefit in the future because you were so short-sighted, you only thought about the here and now and today. The Rabbeinu Yonah answers the question of why did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai have to ask this question of what is considered to be the wrong way, the Derech Ra, she's Rachik Mimenu Adam. Why isn't it just obvious it's the opposite of what's a Derech Tov? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows: Srichin on Lafarish Shelaso Uteshuvasam. I need to explain Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's question to his students and their answers. Ki davar yadua, because it's a fact. Hu shehefech min haderech hayishara, ki haderech shisrach menu adam. Obviously, the opposite of doing the right thing is doing the wrong thing. So why did he have to ask this question to his students? Vanachum. It was actually a good question that he asked. Why? Nay, shish kama midos tovos. There are many things that if you do them correctly, then you're a good guy. However, shehefchan ein ra, but its opposite is not bad. Come on, for example, midas hachasidus, a person who goes above and beyond, that is particular about all the laws of kashrus. Not only that, their chov Yisrael, their pas Yisrael, they'll only eat yashan grain, very, very particular, the shechita, everything is above that which they're required to do. Tremendous thing that they're doing, however. If you stop doing all these great, great, great things, and you just become par of in between, you're not a bad person. So, explains Rabbeinu Yonah, just because they tell you the derech tov, a good way, if you do not follow this derech tov, you may not necessarily be doing the wrong thing either. And therefore, because of this, he had to pose the question twice. We're going to conclude with the word of the first answer of what is considered to be the derech ra. Rabbi Eliezer says, an ayin ra, a bad eye. It's interesting. The Chasdei Avos asks, why is it called an ayin hara, bad eye? Don't we have two eyes, last I checked? Right? We're not a cyclops. Why is it called an ayin ra, a bad eye? So it's explained that the reality is, the reason why Hashem gave us two eyes is because each side of the human being represents one of them, midas chesed, kindness, giving, charitable, going, doing above and beyond that which a person deserves. And the left side is midas adin. It's exact. It's mishpat, being judged. Exactness. And that's the reason why, when it comes to doing mitzvos, we use our right hand. Our right hand, which not only is the stronger hand, but also represents chesed. It means kindness and giving. That's how we should try to ingrain within ourselves this concept of being a kinder, better person. And actually, when I was in Miami Beach, I used to be the shamus for the Deja Rav. And because of this, the Deja Rav used to always require that whenever I did something, I used to clean up for Shalshudas, Samotzi Shabbos, he used to require that I did everything with my right hand. And he said, the reason is you have to use your right hand is because it represents chesed, and therefore that's the hand you have to use, not your left. Unfortunately for me, I was a lefty, so I mean, really everything was backwards, but I wasn't going to argue with him. But the idea that the Chasdei Avos says is that's also what our eyes do. What the purpose of two eyes is to teach us that our right eye represents chesed, looking at a person in a kind manner, being done the kashchus in a favorable manner. Our left eye represents looking in a very critical manner, judging in a very exact way. An ayin ra means that you're only using one eye. You're using the part that is focused only on one aspect of that human being. You're closing the good eye, the eye of being compassionate, the eye of being done the kashchus, and instead you're being exact and using that left eye which represents jealousy and being exact, that's the ayin ra, that's the evil eye. And the message of our Mishnah that we need to incorporate within our lives is that we cannot have an ayin ra, but rather we must open up both eyes. And the idea of having both eyes open means that we have to have a balance in our life. We can't always be kind, because it may not be the right time to be kind. It might not be the right person to be kind. They may not be ready for it. It might be a person that doesn't deserve it. It might be a Rasha. On the other hand, you can't always be bitter. You can't always be exact. You can't always be jealous and mean and cruel. You have to be able to have both eyes wide open and to be able to have that balance. And Meretz Hashem, who has that balance, we should always err toward the side of being done the kashchus, of judging people favorably, as he said before, that we should certainly not have the ayin ra, but at all costs to try to have an ayin tov, the good eye.